If you turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 6, I read this morning and it opened my eyes a little bit. Luke chapter 6, verse 39, Jesus talking here says, "And he spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master." You know, thinking on this, how many leaders are there in this world that are blind, leading the blind? You know, when you consider the matter, we were all born into this world blinded by our sin, blinded by our sinful nature. And what has happened? Man's created his own religions, thinking that he can lead us out of this blindness. And all he's created is blind leaders of the blind. And it says here, the both shall fall in the ditch. And it says, the disciple is not above his master. Now, these guys that are following after the blind, they don't ever make it past their master that's teaching them. For example, the best Catholic in the world, all he can do is be as good as a pope. The best Mormon, he's not going to be any better than Joseph Smith. That's as far as he's going to get. Says here, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. You become a perfect Catholic and you won't be any better than the pope. You'll be as him. You become a perfect Mormon, you won't be any better than Joseph Smith. You'll be as him. And you just pick the religion, and whoever's the top guy on there, that's the best you're going to make it. But is that what we want? No, I don't want that. Who are you following after? A man? Joseph Smith? Pope John Paul? Who are you following after? Christ? I hope so. Because, you know, if you're following after Christ, one day, if you haven't seen it, one day you'll be like him. You know, and that's our hope.
Amen.
But what about the blind? What about them? What's their hope? To become as Pope John Paul? To become as their religious leader? I forget what they're called, but Mohammed? That's their master. That's all they're going to get to. You know, Roland read a verse in Matthew chapter 9. I'd like to read a little bit above where he read. Verse 35. Matthew 9, verse 35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages. What? Teaching. Teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. When he saw the multitudes, he had compassion. He also has mentioned this morning about the heart. And I see here, Christ, he had a perfect heart. He had compassion. He had compassion on these blind people. These people that had no one to lead them. But are we more like what we find in Isaiah 56? Isaiah 56, verse 10. This is a verse that, looking at it, it strikes pretty hard. Why? Because at one time or another, it applies to each one of us. Every single one of us are guilty of what it says here. I mean, you know, you can point your finger, I never see him doing nothing. But you're guilty too. What does he say here in Isaiah 56, verse 10? His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. I mean, you know, we can always push it off on someone else, but yeah, there's been days when, man, I don't want to tell nobody nothing. I am tired. I'm lazy. I feel like just sitting back, watching TV, and tonight I'm not going out. I've had a bad enough day as it is. And others say, but I can't bark very loud. Well, that's fine. You should see some of the dogs I've seen that don't bark very loud. You wouldn't want to get in that yard. But you know, if they didn't bark, I might have been tempted to open the gate and go up and knock on the door. And those were some mean looking dogs. Those are the kind that they clamp onto you and they don't let go. But what does he say here? Dumb dogs, they cannot bark. You know, we got a little dog, that thing barks like crazy when somebody knocks on the door. You got to tell the thing to shut up 50 million times before you can actually hear anything. But hey, he lets you know there's somebody out at the door.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody were to jump our fence, man, he'd let us know. And what about us? These people are blind. They don't know where they're going. They're going to fall into the ditch. Are we letting them go and not even giving them a fair warning? We're not barking. We're not giving them a warning. Brethren, I know we're all guilty of this at one time or another. There's days when we just don't want nothing to do with it. And there's days when, yeah, we're out there barking away. You know, it applies to each one of us. One way or another, if you haven't been out there barking, well, it's time to start. It's time to repent and have some compassion. Yeah. What did Christ do? He had compassion. And you know, it strikes hard on me because too often I have a great lack of compassion. And there's so many times I go to preach and I look out and I'm cold, flat out cold. No compassion. I see the people and I think, maybe if I sit here long enough, the Lord will strike a little bit of compassion in my heart for these people that are out here walking blindly, not knowing where they're going. They have no idea where they're going to end up when they die. And they have hopes, but they don't have anything sure, nothing secure. Back in Matthew 10, verse 36, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, the labors are few. Remember what he was doing at the beginning where I read in 35. He went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel. He was out preaching. And you got to remember, being God, he took on himself form of man. And being in form of man, it wasn't possible for him to go to the whole world, every person, and speak to him. Why? Because he took on the form of a man. But what does he say? The harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. If you're out there and you're barking and you see that there's just not enough laborers, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Pray. Pray what? That he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Brethren, we can't do anything without the Lord. There's nothing we can do without him. Like he says in John 15, without him we're nothing. There's nothing. And that's why he says pray. Because you see, in us, it's not possible for each one of us to make it everywhere. Saying this, not, you know, some guy over there or just me saying it off the top of my head, but it's Christ himself. And it's one thing you can rest assured. If you pray according to his will, he's going to answer. Why? Because he said he would. And if you pray this, you'll be praying according to his will. Why? Because there's no glory for you if he sends out another laborer. No, ain't no. Who's going to know you prayed? God will. There's no glory for you on this earth if you pray to the Lord and ask for more laborers. But hey, he'll do it. And you know, it's a blessing to me to see what the Lord's doing and the things he's done. And it's a real encouragement to me to hear that these guys are actually going to Poland. You know, I used to think, man, we got a vision of the world, but yet it's really reduced down to Mexico. And yeah, somebody went to Korea, a couple of guys went to Korea, but they already came back. And well, Roland, he went off to Puerto Rico. You know, we're expanding some, you know, but hey, now we're actually going to opposite direction now. Instead of going across the Pacific, we're going across the Atlantic now. And it's just encouraging. Why? Because the Lord's sending laborers. You know, there's definitely a need in Poland. There's really a need anywhere you go. And as we look in Mexico, we also see that the Lord's sending laborers. We see the missionaries that left León and they went to Celaya, another city. And the Lord's blessing there. And then, okay, man, we got guys preaching better than me. Let's go somewhere else. And it's just encouraging to see that the Lord's sending more laborers. And you know, it's maybe to you over here, you think, well, it's just the same amount of missionaries. You're just going to a different place. What are you talking about? Well, you see, you got to see the guys in Mexico doing his job. Amen. You got to see the guys who kind of said, okay, it's time for me to take over your place. You can go on and go somewhere else. And you know, it's the Lord answering prayers. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Really, you know, and he answers. Just like Roland mentioned earlier, we had been in a city down there in Mexico and we were praying for the Lord to send another laborer to work with us. And hey, the Lord answered. He sent Roland to work with us and oh, it's been good. Oh yeah, there's been the down times, but hey, the up times, they outdid them. I mean, just to be able to walk off and leave the city and there's brethren out there preaching in the street. Oh man, it was worth it all. I mean, problems, forget it, man. They weren't problems compared to what we see now. And it's, you know, the Lord's doing and it's marvelous in our sight. I remember so many times Roland and I saying, oh man, isn't it good to see the Lord working? I mean, we were out there preaching, but hey, we've been out there preaching when the Lord wasn't working too. And we saw the difference and we saw the Lord working. It was like, hey, this ain't us, man. We know what we can do, man, but this ain't us. This is the Lord's job. This is the Lord's doing. And it just rejoices your heart. And you know, you may be back here thinking, well, we didn't get to see all that, you know. We missed out on the fun. But hey, if you were praying, you'll get in on it. Amen. Don't you worry. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Have some compassion on them. On your neighbors, bark. Preach to them. Tell them something. If you can't bark loud, talk to them. They can hear. Truly, the harvest is plenteous. The harvest is plenteous. These guys who are preaching in the street right now to the church here, they're not going to make it to every door. They may even make it to your neighborhood, but you can talk to your neighbors. You can talk to your friends. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You got to realize the harvest is all over the place. It's just thrown everywhere or planted everywhere, and you got to go out and reap it. And it doesn't matter what city, what place, even here, even there. And when you've done your part and you feel like I'm not getting it all done because there's too much, remember, pray. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Amen.